Unbound Justice, written by Michael Beeshell, narrated by Michael Beeshell. Chapter 1. John Leary stood at the crossroads, waiting for the coach. There was still time to back out of this venture. His mother was watching him from the farm, he felt certain of that. He wanted to stay in Ireland, but his father insisted that the opportunities in New South Wales were massive for a 20-year-old journeyman carpenter with ambitions to become a builder. One day he might even have his own building company. His mother had wanted him to stay, wanted him to train as an architect and set up his shingle in Dublin, joining his 22-year-old brother Mervyn as a professional man. Most of John's other brothers, Kieran 24 and Vincent, born a year before John, were farmers on the family's land, while Alf, 23, was a priest. Their only sister, 25-year-old Maureen, the eldest sibling, lived in Dublin, where John would see her soon, if only to say goodbye. If he were to travel, his mother would have preferred him to travel as a paid passenger with money and comfort. But that was expensive, and some of the family farm would have needed to be sold to pay for it, and that wouldn't happen. When it came down to was that he wanted to stay, his mother wanted him to stay, but his father wanted him to seek out opportunities elsewhere, opportunities that Ireland didn't offer. The Bianconi coach rolled up to him, the dust making him turn his face away. It was decision time. He could defy his father and stay here and work, or he could get on board. It wasn't worth labouring the matter. There was little choice. He loaded his trunk, climbed aboard, nodded to the passengers and closed the door. As the coach moved off, he looked out into the Leary farm, perhaps for the last time. In the June sunlight, his father's land was an oasis in Kildare. Its grass shone bottle green and lush on the 100 acres. Its cattle were fat and content. And it was owned, not rented, a rarity. In the distance, on lots bare as a beggar's pocket, neighbours struggled to survive. Those farmers had but one crop, potatoes. Blight was killing the potatoes, and over the last 4 years, the failure of the crop had led to starvation and deaths. All over the country, there were stories of deaths in their hundreds of thousands, numbers that sounded impossible to be true. John Leary felt for his country. His mother had nursed many local families. She had prayed over their children, while John had fixed their chairs and mended their stables. But their efforts were a single grain in a mill full of pain and suffering. The coach gathered speed, climbed and cleared another hill, providing John with an opportunity to admire his handiwork. 300 feet of top and bottom timber rails running along the edge of a drainage ditch were squared and finished with pride, and his labour paid for in cash by the county. This in a time when coin was rare and food was the main currency, because only jobs away from the farms paid anything. The rocking coach bumped against his shoulder as he looked out at the mill on the hilltop. Its sails had seen 50 summers, but its wheel would be idle now with no wheat to grind. As his view of the family farm receded, John became more aware of the cramped conditions in the carriage. He felt like he was in a vice, his 6-foot-3-inch frame squeezed between other passengers. The thought of sitting so long like this added to his discomfort, as did his jacket and trousers of broadcloth. He longed to swap them for working clothes. He was at ease when building. All his actions had purpose and logic. When he scanned drawings, swung a hammer or shifted timbers, his movements were confident and lithe. Outside of his job, he felt different and was conscious of his size. Now the awkwardness made him irritable, and he kicked himself for not opting for the cheaper seats outside the coach. The people around him were talking. "It is high, I tell you," the passenger beside him said. "Even an eagle couldn't land on it." The man opposite had hair as red as a terracotta mortar mix. He laughed. "So you said before, Declan. No, it can't be that high." A woman flashed a bold look at him that lingered for a second over his left eyebrow. John was conscious of his prominent scar, caused 2 years ago by a flying nail spun from an errant hammer. She said, "What do you think, young sir? Is Dublin's custom house taller than St. Paul's?" "St. Paul's in London, I mean." "Don't know, ma'am. I've never been to London." The woman sniffed. "Neither have we, but nothing could be taller than the customs. Nothing." She turned to the red-haired man and continued chatting. John looked at the man's hair, so different from his own untidy gold locks, and thought about his uncertain future. New South Wales. What he'd read about place made him pause. Heat, flies, snakes. But there was money to be made there. Carpenters were well paid and work was plentiful. Sydney was a growing town. New people meant more houses and carpenters were needed to help build those houses. Melbourne was another place he could work. It was, no, it couldn't be.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?